It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Live by Live has all of your favorite music, and you can listen for free. Whether you hit play on one of our hundreds of curated music stations or create your own custom artist radio station, you'll find the music you love on Live by Live. Visit LiveXLive.com or search LiveXLive in the App Store or Google Play and listen for free now.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and we are in our second episode in March, which means we're what, like 6 weeks away from the NFL Draft? This is insane. Insane, I tell you. We're presented by BetOnline.ag. Use that promo code PODCAST1. It's conference championship week in college hoops. And then March Madness kicks off next week. You know the place to place some bets on March Madness. It's BetOnline.ag. We are rolling with our positional previews. Every week, we're breaking down a different position. When I say we, I really mean he. He is, of course, Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles. You can check him out on Twitter, at FDuffy3. Does a terrific job for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is their video scouting guru, and he's our draft guru here on the College Draft Podcast. As a result, I'm the former NFL offensive lineman, Ross Tucker. Love, love, love all of the various podcasts we have for you. We're going to do the Fantasy Feast today with Evan Silva and I, breaking down all of the reported moves in free agency thus far. We're also going to have the Even Money podcast today and just see if any of these moves so far have moved the needle as far as Steve Fezzik is concerned for betting on any of these teams. And we'll get his quick hit thoughts on conference championship week, March Madness, etc. Fran, we've already done a couple position groups. It's now time for the linebackers, which is interesting. And, of course, Fran, nothing official to this point. But there have been some linebackers on the move, reportedly, in NFL free agency. Supposedly, Quan Alexander is getting a lot of money to sign tomorrow with the 49ers. The New York Jets have reportedly, according to NFL Network, reeled in both C.J. Mosley for $17 million a year, Anthony Barr in the $14 to $15 million a year range, although I think Barr might end up playing outside backer for them, which is what I thought he was. I remember talking about him when he was coming out of college at UCLA. But my point is, Fran, sometimes linebackers get lost in the shuffle a little bit, but man, don't tell some of these NFL teams that. I mean, it's pretty clear that they still really value good players at this position.
Well, you know what it is, Ross, is that, you know, it's a sub-package league, obviously, but really it's a matchup league. And, you know, ultimately that's why you're going to start seeing these safeties get a lot of big money. Teams are playing more safeties now than they ever have in terms of, you know, big nickel and dime. I mean, more safeties, more versatile safeties are getting onto the field to match up with, you know, with more athletic tight ends or just bigger slot receivers. And I think that same holds true for the linebacker position. And that's why a lot of these guys that are reportedly getting all this money, they're more athletic, pure three down players. You're not seeing the guys that, you know, maybe had questions about their athleticism or questions about their speed. Those guys aren't getting the money. It's the guys that have the ability to play sideline to sideline, have the ability to match up one-on-one in space with athletic tight ends and running backs. Those are the guys that are seen as valuable, and I think that will hold true in the draft as well.
I think you're exactly right. I think that's a huge part of it, Fran, is guys that can run and guys that can cover don't have to come off the field. And I think that's probably a pretty good jumping off point as we get started with your favorite linebacker in this draft class to watch on film?
Yeah, and it's pretty much a slam dunk. It's Devin White from LSU. And I think ultimately, when you look at this kid, he arrived on campus as kind of like a running back, fullback hybrid. It didn't take long for them to realize, you know what, we should probably put this guy on the defensive side of the football. Turned into a two-year starter on the weak side for Dave Aranda in that 3-4 scheme. Has the ability to play Mike. I mean, he's got a dynamic personality. He's a guy that you can see, you know, you can envision him stepping into your locker room, being one of the leaders of the defense, making all the calls in the middle of the field. And he's just a ball of energy. I mean, he is a fast flow linebacker, absolutely has three down potential, great athlete, phenomenal range to play sideline to sideline. He's really physical. You know, obviously we'll play downhill, play in the box. I remember talking to Kerryon Johnson, the former Auburn running back, now star for the Detroit Lions. I remember talking to him at the combine last year, and he said that Devin White was the best player that he faced a year ago. That was his true sophomore season because of his toughness and his physicality. So you know, you look at Devin White and you see a guy that he's almost the total package. The big question you have, number one, wasn't super productive in coverage, right? I thought his ball skills were just okay. He has the athleticism to match up and play in space, but you know, his ability to play in the ball was a bit of a concern. The bigger question, though, was just his consistency as a tackler. He's a guy who tends to kind of strike high, does have some misses, more of a drag down tackler. He came in at 237 pounds, which I thought was a win for him at the combine. Can he maintain that weight and continue to play at that weight? I thought it was good that he tested the way he did at just under 240 pounds. He ran 4.42. He had a 4.17 in the short shuttle. He jumped 39 and a half inches in the vert. So tested very well across the board. But this is a guy that ultimately, as again, a high motor guy, really just a phenomenal athlete, he can just play a little bit too out of control at times. So, when you talk about him finishing as a tackler outside the numbers, there were times where he would come in a little bit too hot, fail to break down and finish one-on-one. But ultimately, from a skill set standpoint, like Devin White is exactly what you're looking for, very similar to Roquan Smith a year ago, and obviously had a big impact for the Chicago Bears in year one.
It's interesting too, Fran, because the way you describe him, he sounds a lot like how people were describing Quan Alexander in free agency, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneer linebacker who's supposed to be signing with the 49ers for a lot of money. That's how a lot of people describe him. You know, fast as lightning, overruns some things, misses some tackles, but has, you know, a lot of speed to chase things down.
Yeah, I think the big difference is that I really like Devin White coming downhill, whereas with Quan, I mean, he is a space player. He is a guy that give him a free lane and he's going to run. And they did a nice job of kind of covering him up, making sure that the defensive tackles did some of the dirty work in front of him and allow him to flow to the football. I think that would be the case for sure in San Francisco as well, if that's where he ends up.
Let's get to the guy that you say at linebacker is underrated by the media. This is my favorite category, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the guy that really has just been flying under the radar throughout the whole process, and that's TJ Edwards from Wisconsin. A little bit undersized, you know, just over 6 foot, just about 230 pounds. But he's a four-year starter for Jim Leonard out there in Wisconsin. Pro-style scheme, 3-4, everything that you would want from a leadership standpoint. Talked to a lot of the Wisconsin offensive linemen, some of the other players as well for the Badgers, and they all pointed to TJ Edwards as the guy who was the leader of that team. And again, as a four-year starter, not a big, you know, vocal guy, but a guy that they all look to be their leader. Really instinctive player, both against the run and the pass. The big question with TJ Edwards, it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, is the athleticism. You know, is he going to be a guy that's viewed as a three-down player? He didn't work out at the combine, was not at the Senior Bowl. He didn't get an invite. He told me at the combine that he didn't get an invite to the Senior Bowl till late in the process. So, you know, ultimately, I think when you look at TJ Edwards, this is a player that is really instinctive, really tough. You know that he's going to be able to play between the tackles. The question is does he have the athleticism to hold up in space? Was really, really productive against the run and the pass. I mean, he had a bunch of interceptions. Let me look at the total. He had 10 interceptions in his career. I mean, this is a guy that's not – the questions about his ball skills are not there. His instincts in coverage, that's not a question. The question is, does he have the foot speed, the quickness? We'll see if he works out of the Wisconsin Pro Day, but certainly a guy that to me is very, very intriguing. We'll see if he's valued that way come draft weekend.
What are you hearing, Fran, or what are the current projections on where TJ might go in terms of draft, like what round?
I mean, people aren't really talking about him at all. So to me, like I look at him on film and I think, all right, he's probably like a third or fourth round pick just because there's the questions about the athleticism. Now, if he goes to his pro day, and if he had done this at the combine, if he goes to his pro day and runs, say, you know, mid 4.5s and tests pretty well across the board, I think, yeah, you're probably looking at him third round, you know, late day two, potentially early day three. Now, if he goes and he bombs the pro day, if he bombs the workout, now there's going to be questions about his, you know, those questions about his athleticism are going to be even more magnified. And you're talking more about late day three.
Boy, that's amazing to me. You know, I called the Penn State-Wisconsin game, and I've seen a lot of Wisconsin football the last few years. That guy has made, like, every tackle for them for years. I mean, that guy, I'm a big, big fan. I didn't sit down and study his coaching tape like you do, but just watching the TV copy, even that Penn State game I called, the guy made every tackle. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm a big fan of his. And the way he plays. Who's a guy at linebacker, Fran, that you like, but something about them scares you?
Well, that would be Mac Wilson, because I think when you look at Mac Wilson from Alabama, he has all of the traits. Like, I mean, from a physical standpoint, he has got all the tools to be a three-down linebacker. This, to me, is the Quan Alexander comparison, because, you know, Mac Wilson he's got pretty good size. He's really athletic. He's explosive. He's got great range, can play sideline to sideline. Again, all those tools that you look for to play in today's league. The question you have is with his eye discipline, his mental processing, his play strength at the point of contact. Those are questions that you have with Mac, is can he play in traffic? Can he avoid contact and keep himself clean to make plays outside the numbers? Those are questions that you have watching him. Now, he only started a couple games on the back end of his sophomore season back in 2017. This was his first full year as a starter. So you saw him make strides and you saw really, really good flashes. I think if you take him early, you're betting on him being a better NFL player than what he's put in college film, because his college film was pretty good, but he's got the skill set to go very, very high. So, you know, I'm very intrigued by Mac Wilson. He's a guy I think that will go a little bit higher than I think people are projecting right now. I think most people are kind of looking at him as a mid-day two guy. It wouldn't shock me because of his skill set if he went top 50, if somebody fell in love with him away from the field. So to me, Mac Wilson is a guy that's really, really intriguing. You just worry about the you know, his eye discipline, making sure that he's seeing things as cleanly and as efficiently as you would like.
Just a quick question, Fran, on Devin White. Is he, in your mind, like a top five, top 10 kind of guy?
Yeah, I think so. To me, he's very, very similar to Roquan Smith from a year ago. I'm not worried about his instincts at all. The big question with Devin White is the tackling and just being a more sure tackler. You know, with some of these other guys we've talked about, there are bigger questions, things that need to be answered. But with Devin White, those questions aren't as sure for me.
How about the other Devin? And it looks like you got Devin Bush from Michigan as your safest player, the guy whose upside may not be as high, but a high floor football player.
Yeah, and to me, I think this is how he would have been viewed, especially going into the combine. Now coming out of the combine, the way he tested, I think a lot of people are questioning that thought process. Maybe he does have really high upside. I mean, he ran 4.43 at just over 235 pounds. He tested really well across the board. So, you know, you see, to me, I watched him on film. I mean, this guy is a three-down player at Mike, really physical, really tough, explosive. I liked the sideline-to-sideline ability. I did wonder a little bit, kind of like Devin White, sometimes he goes a little bit more for the big hit as opposed to trying to wrap up. I did worry a little bit about his ability to play in reverse, and that's still, you know, a little bit of a question just based off what I've seen on film. But I think when you look at Devin Bush, you feel pretty good that he's going to be able to play in today's league. He's a little bit undersized, again, just 5'11", even 234 pounds. But love his physicality. I love his sideline to sideline ability. There's a role for Devin Bush in today's NFL.
What's the difference between Bush and White?
I would say that White is probably a more naturally instinctive player. Probably has a little bit more in terms of the plays outside the numbers. Even though I thought the motor on Devin Bush was still pretty good, I think Devin White has just a little bit more to him. And then also that I think White is a little bit looser laterally than Devin Bush is. Bush is definitely a straight line guy. More straight line, I would say, than Devin White. I wouldn't say he's purely straight line. But Devin White is really, really loose. He's got the ability to kind of flip his hips and be able to mirror and match in space. Whereas I think Bush is definitely more of a box player. Keep him inside the tackle box, let him play downhill. Whereas White, I think he gives you a little bit more versatility to be able to match up in space.
Give me a guy that you think at linebacker is a scheme-specific guy.
To me, I look at a guy like Jelani Tavai from Hawaii, and this is a player that, I know we talked with Dane Brugler a couple months ago, and he had brought him up. I didn't get a chance to watch him until, very early before, or very late, just before the combine. And Dane was spot on about this kid. He's really, really intriguing. A guy who started 45 games over his career with Hawaii. Somehow is still very much under the radar. 6'2", came in at 250 pounds out at the combine. What's amazing about Tavai is that at any given rep, I mean, he could line up hand in the dirt or, standing up over tackle as a pass rusher. He can line up stacked as kind of a Mike backer or a weak side backer. He can line up over the slot playing in space over receivers and tight ends. And he did all of them pretty well. I mean, that's the thing, is that this kid's got a very, very impressive skill set. His combination of size and movement, he didn't get a chance to work out because of an injury, and that is a shame because I think he would have been one of the more impressive testers at the combine. He would have impressed at the All-Star game circuit as well, whether it was the Shrine Game or the Senior Bowl. Jelani Tavai is really, really intriguing. And some names that I wrote down while watching him, Fred Warner was a guy that I really liked a year ago, turned into a really good starter as a rookie for the San Francisco 49ers. I also wrote down KJ Wright and Anthony Barr. I mean, to me, the skill set with Jelani Tavai is very, very intriguing. Why I say he's scheme specific is I think you have to have a bit of a plan for him. You have to understand how you're going to use him. He's not going to just go into the NFL. We talked about this with guys like Miles Jack. And to an extent, I mean, Anthony Barr as well would fit that boat. You said earlier, we thought Anthony Barr would be an edge rusher coming out of UCLA, and he turned into more of an off-the-ball guy. I think when you look at Jelani Tavai, you need to look at him and say, okay, how are we going to use him? Is he going to be purely an edge guy? Is he going to be a stacked Mike backer? Is he going to be kind of a walkout matchup player against tight ends for us? What is he going to be for us early? And then let's then develop and massage the skill set and try and grow his role a little bit as we grow. To me, teams that value versatility at linebacker, value size and athleticism, they're going to really, really like this kid. He's one of the more intriguing players at the position, especially in what I think most would consider one of the more shallow position groups in this draft.
All right, let's move on to the next category. I like it. I like when there's a guy kind of out of nowhere. What about the day three gem? This is one of my other favorite categories.
There are a few guys that I would have put that I could have put in this one, but I went with Voshon Joseph, the linebacker from Florida. And the reason why, the kid came in at 6'1.5", 230 pounds. He's still light, really, really athletic. I mean, he's a special athlete. Didn't test at the combine, so we didn't get to see that on display. But this kid is really fun to study because he's really athletic. He's super explosive. He's got a great motor, makes plays all over the field for the Gators. And he's tough. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to back down from contact. He will come downhill and try and pop a blocker, try and take on a tight end. I mean, he's got the ability to do that. To me, that is very reminiscent of Telvin Smith when he was coming out of Florida State a few years ago. I mean, Telvin Smith was really small. Some people even graded him as a safety coming out for that reason. But you saw the toughness. You saw the instincts. Yeah, the size was a little bit of an issue at times, taking on blocks. Yeah, the size was a little bit of an issue at times, getting bigger ball carriers to the ground. And that is the case with Voshon Joseph. But in today's league, where the value is on athleticism, I think Joseph's going to go earlier than people think too. We'll see if it's going to be latter stages of day two, maybe even earlier than that. But to me, Voshon Joseph is a guy, look, as long as the character and stuff checks out, I don't know much about him off the field. As long as there are no red flags there or red flags medically. And if you're going straight, basically off the film, to me, he's one of the more intriguing players in this class. Again, questions with his size and strength and ability to finish tackles, but the athleticism, the speed, the motor, they're all there. The instincts are pretty good as well. He's an outstanding blitzer. So to me, you look at Vo'Shawn Joseph, and he's a guy that if he's there on day three, I think the upside is very, very high. And there's a couple guys in this class I think you could say that about.
Yeah, that's interesting about some of the day three guys, because you always think I always think of day three guys as being, you know, primarily like special teams guys.
Yeah, and he would be an outstanding special teamer. I think if you look at him, you look at a guy like Blake Cashman, who a lot of people, you know, are kind of pounding the table for now after his combine workout. I think when you look at the athleticism traits, you know, Drew Tranquil from Notre Dame, he was an outstanding special teamer throughout the course of his career with the Irish. You start looking at these guys and say, okay, at a floor, this should be a special teams demon, core four guy, can do all of that. But what else can he be for us? Can he be a starting Will? Can he be a starting Sam? Can he be a starting Mike? That's when you start getting into those questions. But with all those guys, I think the floor is as a core four special teams guy.
BetOnline.ag is our go-to place if you want to place a wager on anything, especially it's conference championship week in college hoops. So that makes those games. I already love watching those games. I was watching Wofford and UNC Greensboro last night. I love, you know, these teams getting a chance to punch their ticket for the tournament. And you can make those games even more interesting at betonline.ag. When you use the promo code podcast1, you get a 50% welcome bonus, which is awesome. You get that much money right away. 50% welcome bonus. So you put in $100, they put an extra 50 in. Just for you. BetOnline.ag. March Madness is just about here. Take advantage of it. All right, Fran, let's get to your three for one. Three more guys you want to talk about because you like them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tavon Coney first from Notre Dame. You know, under 6'1", just under 245 pounds. Pretty athletic kid. He didn't test in Indianapolis like a lot of these guys, unfortunately, but didn't test in Indy. But to me, on film, I think he's an explosive kid, you know, fairly explosive. He's not to the level of athlete as some of these other guys we've talked about. But in terms of being a three-down player, I think he can be that at the next level. I really like his instincts in the box against the run. Coverage, his production playing in reverse was not great. Only five disruptions on the football and coverage. But ultimately, when you look at Tavon Coney, I think that this is a player that can be a three-down player, can be a Mike linebacker for a team in today's NFL. He's a guy that really, really intrigues me and is probably more of an early day three selection when it's all said and done. Another guy, Terrell Hanks from New Mexico State, one of the darlings of the Senior Bowl, had a good week of practice down there in Mobile, four-year starter for New Mexico State, was recruited. He was a high school safety, I believe, when he was coming out of Miami, Florida, as a high school kid. But the big knock on him now is that he did not have a good combine workout. The jumps were solid. Then he went around the 40. Around 4.98 at 242 pounds. So that's something that he's absolutely going to have to make sure he improves on at the pro day, because teams want speed at linebacker. And for a guy that on film, his game is pretty much predicated on his athleticism and speed. He's a very physical guy. He's a tough kid. He is pretty instinctive, but ultimately, you know, he's a guy that I think is built more for athleticism. So for him to not test well was a little bit worrisome. But overall, I mean, this kid absolutely looks the part. He's got pythons for arms. Really well built. Was one of the guys that won the weigh-in at the Senior Bowl as well. Everybody was really excited about him, seeing him in person. And like I said, had a good week of practice. So Terrell Hanks, just a name to keep an eye on. Again, probably more of a day three selection, but the kid from New Mexico State to me is very, very intriguing. And then last one I'll go with is David Long. And it's going to sound a little bit of a broken record because it's similar to a lot of the other guys that we've talked about so far. I think when you look at David Long, he's intriguing because he is undersized, but he's athletic. He's a fast flow kid who can play sideline to sideline. He's built for today's NFL. He's very versatile, can be used in a lot of different ways, got lined up stacked, did walk out a little bit of the time as well, did get some reps off the edge as a pass rusher, as a blitzer. But the question is his size, his play strength, and his ability to tackle one-on-one. He did have a lot of missed tackles in the Big 12. So, you know, you look at David Long, the The skill set's there. There's tools there for you to work with. You just worry a little bit about the size and strength and ability to finish one-on-one. And that's really, you could say that about a handful of these guys. You know, we've talked about a few of them already, but, you know, to throw in a couple more, Jordan Jones from Kentucky, Chase Hansen from Utah, again, a guy like Blake Cashman from Minnesota. So ultimately, you know, this is an intriguing player. Athleticism is there. You feel like he can be a special teams guy for you. Can he be more in your base defense?
You know, that just brings up one question to me, Fran, which is, can you name any guys that, you know, you're talking about like Telvin Smith and some of these guys. Can you name any guy that didn't make it in the NFL at linebacker because they weren't big enough?
Like,
you know, people say, oh, I'm worried about him because he's undersized. Worried about him, he's a little undersized. I guess I'm trying to think of guys that didn't make it, you know, didn't become starters or whatever because they never got big enough. It just never seems like that's the reason why they don't become a player, you know?
Sure. I'm pulling up my list now. I mean, really, I think ultimately it is a little bit of a concern because when you get to the NFL, everybody's bigger, faster, stronger, right? So, you know, some of the things that you had that worked for you in college may not necessarily work for you in the NFL. So now I'm looking. You know, Telvin Smith came in at 218 pounds. Deion Jones came in at 222 pounds. So I'm going to start looking at some of the guys that didn't work. I mean, Sua Cravens came in at 226. A lot of people viewed him as a safety, and he's still kind of viewed that way. Jatavis Brown, 227. I'm looking at some of these guys that weren't, that were drafted.
But you know
high.
My point, right? It just seems like I always hear that with high school recruiting, too. It's like, I just don't know if he's big enough. Like they'll be looking at an offensive lineman like that's 260, and I'm like, well, when's the last time you had a guy that came and he didn't play for you because he never got heavy enough? You know what I mean? Like,
right,
it just.
Well, let's. I think this is a fun exercise. Let's look at it real quick. These are all guys that were drafted on the first or second day that came in at 232 pounds or less. All right, this is the last 10 years. Rashawn Evans. Deron Lee, he hasn't really turned out well for the Jets. Sean Spence with Pittsburgh, he got hurt. Darrell Washington, the linebacker from Arizona, he turned into a good player. Obviously, he had a different set of issues. Jerome Baker, still young, just a rookie with the Dolphins. Reuben Foster, obviously, he's had his own set of issues. Shaq Thompson with the Carolina Panthers. Sua Cravens mentioned. Dorian O'Daniel, just a rookie. Jalen Smith with the Dallas Cowboys, obviously, you know, very, very talented player. Deion Jones. And that's it. That's the list. I think that's a fair point, especially with the way that the game's played today.
Yeah, you know, I always hear that as a concern, and I'm always like, okay, but then who are the guys that and because the concern is they won't hold up in the run game. But, like, a lot of the guys you just named are awesome in the run game, you know? So, I don't know. I always think that that's an interesting knock on guys.
It is important to know, too, that those guys that I just listed were only the guys that were drafted day one or two. There are a lot of other guys that were drafted day three. The thing is, though, those guys, obviously, they got drafted a little bit later. They're not great. They're not as good football players.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That'll do it, by the way, for this edition of the College Draft Podcast. Hopefully you guys are already following us on Twitter. He's at FDuffy3, an excellent follow. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. The best way to always know when any of the shows are ready is by following our producer, Brian, at RTF Podcast. He posts all the shows, so he knows when they're on your podcast app, and he posts them on Twitter right away. At RTF Podcast. Busy Tuesday. Mentioned it earlier. I'll say it again. Fantasy Feast posting today with Evan and I breaking down all of the free agent reports thus far. Even money today. And then tomorrow we'll have a monstrous Ross Tucker football podcast. Next week, I think we might be doing the O-line. So get excited. I'm excited. Fran needs to give me a list of guys I need to check out. Always one of my favorite episodes of the year. Check out Fran and all the great stuff he does on Twitter for the Eagles. You can see it because he posts it. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.